Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, May 10, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 477 of the Biden-Harris administration, 179 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go. Buzz is on vacation this week, so sitting right over there, it's Rocky Mountain Mike. Shit, I played the wrong thing. Yeah, there we go.
Mike.
Already starting a perfect show, aren't we, Mike?
Yeah, well, okay. So we'll fix that in post. Hi, everybody. It's usually Buzz Burbank sitting here on Tuesday, but Bob was forced to use Plan B.
There you go.
So, speaking of abortion, Microsoft has just announced it will pay travel costs for its employees seeking an abortion. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that involves Clippy.
Oh, no. No.
You know what? There was a fire here in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But I waited until my book about the fire was released to call the fire department.
That seems to be the trend these days. Yeah, yeah, good job.
And Ted Cruz says, unlike the Kavanaugh lawn protesters, the January 6th protesters were, quote, peaceful. But someone has already taken a shit all over that theory.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, he's at it again, launching missiles into Mexico and whatever.
Would you like to hide that Trump in a padded room? Could we just decide to lock him away real soon?
He could gloat and tweet and brag about inaugural signs.
Tell him goodbye.
You, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah. The not smarter than a fifth grader dimension.
One of my
favorites.
Featuring
Marion Ann Arbor.
Marion Ann Arbor. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. So, Mike, thank you again for stepping in for Buzz.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for the lovely jokes. That's always a great way to start the show. I needed it. I really needed it today because I'm feeling logy. I'm feeling a little bit slow in the uptake, and I'll tell you exactly why. I mentioned last week, I forget which show last week, but they're jacking up our rent here by like 26%, which is just absolutely insane. So, as a consequence of that, Kimberly and I have decided that a year from now, we're going to move to another apartment, to someplace in the D.C. Metroplex, of course. But obviously, we have to get ready for that big, you know, event that's going to occur a year from now. It's going to be hanging over my head for the entire year. And so last night, I had my first series of moving anxiety nightmares. What it was is I was in the process of bringing the movers in, and the movers were packing up, and they were dumping shit all over the place and knocking over books, and boxes were falling apart, and they almost get finished, and I realized, oh shit, I haven't packed my office yet. So the movers are getting ready to leave, and this is all in this ridiculous dream that I'm having, and I haven't finished packing yet. And so so there was the scramble for that, and then no matter
and your record was running out.
That's right. I mean, seriously, I have moved so many times in the last 10-15 years.
Honestly, do you actually use movers? Do you actually hire movers?
I do because
what are you, a rich person?
Super lazy. Yeah. I mean, I used to do it myself, but then that became just it was an additional headache. I'm willing to pay for the convenience of having movers come in and haul my shit away.
I've done that a couple of times, it is worth it, because especially the packing,
right?
That just seems to take forever.
Oh yeah.
Usually, and the last time I moved was 3 years ago, and that one doesn't count because I had 2 months to pull it off. It was when I bought this house. But usually when I move like from one state to another, it would usually take me 4 full days to pack everything.
It's a goddamn chore. It's riddled with anxiety, at least for me, because I've done it so many times. When I lived in Hawaii for 5 years, I moved 5 times just in that 5 year span. And then the move out to Hawaii wasn't the most painless thing in the world, because, you know, you're going out to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So there's quite an ordeal that goes along with that. And in fact, you know what? I've been here in the same apartment, Kimberly and I have, for 4 years. In my entire adult life, that is the second longest span of time I've lived in one place. That gives you an idea of how often I have moved.
I think that's why you and I relate, because I don't even know. I've lost track. I mean, I know that I have lived in no less since I was 21 years old. I have lived in no less than 40 different places.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's just not a fun process. So that's where I am right now. In fact, at one point, I woke up and I was so sweaty from having this dream that I had to go change my shirt. That's pretty gross, isn't it? That's the moving anxiety.
At least it was sweat in your dream.
All right. Well, welcome aboard. You can find Rocky Mountain Mike on Twitter at RockyMNTN Mike, etc. And of course, you know him from the Stephanie Miller Show and so on, his photography and whatnot. So, but thank you again for sitting in for Buzz today. We're hoping he's going to be back next Tuesday, although it's in the midst of returning from vacation. So we'll see.
Depends on whether or not he can get into Wally World.
That's right. That's exactly where he's going. He's taking the whole tribe cross country and the family truckster. He's got the whole thing mapped out. He's going to stop by to see Aunt Edna on the way. So we're continuing on here with our coverage of this Supreme Court Dobbs decision and the apparent end of abortion rights, reproductive rights in a good chunk of the country, and depending on how the next two elections go, could be the entire country. Tucker Carlson last night on his show was reacting to some of the protesters who showed up outside Brett Kavanaugh's house and outside, I think, Sam Alito's house is the other one. And we're talking about peaceful protesters in the street. It's not like they're on his lawn or on his front step. They're in the street, very orderly, very peaceful. I mean, they're chanting and they're there, but it's not like there's a mob of 700 people. It's a relatively small group of protesters.
And I understand that when someone flashed the finger, that was like over the top and that was enough. He couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so who exactly shit in Alito's front, you know, room or his living room or something, you know, like.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how Tucker Carlson was behaving, as if that actually happened, Mike. You'd think, by the way he's talking here in this very brief clip, that he's going to go to some sort of grisly scene where someone's been murdered and their body parts.
Your discretion is advised.
Yeah, he's like, okay, you know, this is going to be disturbing, so get small children to look away as we show this clip. Here's Tucker Carlson completely blowing the protesters out of proportion.
We hesitate even to bring you these pictures because they're so awful, but it's happening and you should see what it looks like. These are protesters. This is the mob.
The mob.
Outside Justice Samuel Alito's home in Virginia. They're disgusting.
They're disgusting.
We'll continue to monitor that throughout the hour.
A disgusting mob standing there peacefully saying, stop telling us what to do.
They're all wearing a fuck your feelings t-shirts and he can grab my pussy anytime t-shirts.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That, I mean, that level of disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're standing there in a relatively small group, not damaging property, not engaging in violence, not beating cops to death, not attempting to hang the vice president, not attempting to overthrow Congress. They're just standing there, and Tucker Carlson defines them as a disgusting mob. And the funny thing about that, if there is anything that's funny about it, is the fact that he's saying all of that, that we just heard him say, this disgusting mob. You might want to look away because it's so disturbing. And the video that he's showing side by side with his stupid fucking prepubescent face is just the protesters standing there. In fact, there was one shot where they were absolutely quiet. They weren't saying a word. They were just standing there, mouths shut, eyes open, just in the street in an orderly way. It's not like they're tearing down trees and they're throwing rocks through windshields. None of that is happening.
But, yeah, but if you're into Tucker porn, it doesn't matter.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But I always think, at some level, are the red hats who are watching a clip like that, on some level, are they going, well, wait, hang on a second. What are you saying, Tucker? Because it's not matching with the video that you're also, it doesn't make any sense, Tucker. I want to think on some level, and maybe that's what's fucked up about me, that I think.
Well, see, you know, my neighbor across the street has bona fide racist credentials. You know, he's the nicest guy in the world to me. And he's nice to the, you know, African-Americans in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But he tells me racist stories, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even he and his wife, yeah, Tucker, we don't really particularly care for that.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
So that's, you know, that's heartening.
But, you know, and I'll go on record as having said in the past that I'm not a giant fan of making these protests too personal, like going up to people in restaurants or even going to their homes. But at this point, with this decision, the way it stands right now, where they are basically striking the idea of a right to privacy from the Constitution.
Well, and they don't deserve it because of the decision. They deserve it because they fucking lied.
Well, that's true,
too. That's why they deserve it.
Yeah,
you know, they're not. This completely illegitimate the way they've gone about doing this. It's not only illegitimate, it's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Well, when they're telling girls as young as 8 or 9 that they're going to have to bear their rapist's child, for fuck's sake, and that women of reproductive age no longer have privacy over their reproductive organs or their reproductive decisions, then everything is on the table. You take away that right to privacy. And look, don't be surprised when people show up on the street outside your suburban home.
This law in Louisiana, they're banning hormone. What is it? Hormone protecting. You know what I'm talking about? The trans. It's the anti-trans.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. The hormone blockers. They're trying to.
The hormone blockers. Hormone blockers. I'm sorry. Yeah. I had a brain blocker, but it just so happens my granddaughter needs those.
Yeah.
Because she started going into puberty at age 5.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's really you know, bless her heart, it's really tough.
Yeah, yeah.
To be going through that, and she needs those. And in Louisiana, my daughter would be arrested for buying them.
Does she get teased or bullied in school because of that?
Yeah. Well, she's put on weight, so she it's mostly because of that. And, you know, kids are great as far as that goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, that's a really good way to illustrate the point that I don't think the
Republic- my daughter is like your original dyed-in-the-wool, Franklin Graham kind of evangelistic right-winger.
Interesting. Wow.
And so I haven't broached this subject with her, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know.
But the Republican Party itself and the white Christian evangelicals who have been pushing for the
majority
the reversal
of the bell curve,
they don't understand the myriad problems that this brings up. What they're focused on solely is save the fetus. They don't care about any other extenuating circumstances surrounding that. It's
or
the
this
cult.
Whole thing that Fugelsang always brings up. Who do you charge for what and how much of a term do you give them, if you'll pardon the expression, of, you know, of the doctor, of in the case of rape, the rapist and the mother, you know, they haven't thought through any of that. Mm-hmm. They haven't thought through shit.
Yeah.
If they, anybody who's thought through anything doesn't fucking vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they do think through things, it comes up looking absolutely screwy. Like I spent a good long time this weekend reading through the draft opinion from Sam Alito, and he brings up this term, which is so baffling to me. On multiple occasions in this decision, he mentions potential life. What the fuck is potential life? Does that mean sperm? Are sperm potential life? Are eggs potential life? What is potential life? What does that even mean? If life begins at conception, when the hell does potential life begin? Are you mean to tell me that
potential life begins when your browser opens Pornhub?
That's right. But, I mean, it raises all kinds of ridiculous hypothetical situations. Like, what if a couple is planning to have sex with the goal of having a child, and at the last minute they decide not to? Have they just preemptively aborted a child? I don't know. Is that potential life? What's going on here? There are so many existential questions regarding
this. That's the thing that baffles me about this whole opinion is here you're doing this historic thing. And the reasons they're citing and the things that they're citing are just fucking outer space shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What he's looking for is Sam Alito is looking for some way to justify his paleo-conservative ideas about abortion and about women in particular. And so he spends a good long chunk of this decision going through all of these arcane ideas, some from the 15th century, did a great job.
In doing that, it's just like the states' rights thing.
Yeah.
It's like he has all this crazy crap in there, but then they ultimately say the reason that they want to do this is because it's not in the Constitution, it's not written law, it shouldn't have ever been decided by the courts, and it should be a state's thing. Those are fine arguments. I understand that. But then to throw in this fucking 17th century guy or whatever it was, the Salem witch hunt guy or whatever.
Yeah, and SNL did a great job satirizing that in their cold open the other night. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about a Supreme Court justice in 2022 saying, hey, look at the precedent from 400 years ago, 500 years ago.
I know. It's so fucking weird.
Yes, it's incredible.
He might as well have cited Game of Thrones.
Yeah, right. Well, when you see him repeatedly quoting the word fetus when it's got an O in it, you're pretty certain that he's really digging deep into the slag heap of bullshit from the past in order to justify this current thing. Like, the idea is, has at any point people in the United States ever considered this to be a natural right to be able to have abortion? Well, my answer is no, because in 1861, this asshole said something about the quickening in the womb and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's
So what do you do about gene splicing? You
know, exactly.
What do they have to say about that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have made so much progress as a society, maybe not so much politically, but as a society, we've made some significant progress since even the middle 60s, since in the span of my lifetime alone. I mean, I remember, and this is, I don't want to get too far off on a tangent here, but I remember being 12, 13 years old and driving to my grandparents' house and seeing signs for Sambo's Restaurant up and down 95. Like, oh my God, that was a real thing in our lifetimes. And we have made such significant progress in terms of the culture in the United States. And that is, I think, in large part...
Well, speak for yourself, Yankee.
Yeah, I'm so, so sorry. Yeah, yeah.
As one who has attended the county commission meetings to try to get our goddamn Confederate statue out of the courthouse square.
Right. Yeah. Well, there are some places where they're still hanging on to that old shit, right? The fetus in the womb and the quickening and all that bullshit.
And see, that's the deal. I mean, you expect that from a stupid hick county commission, but you don't expect that from the goddamn Supreme Court. That's the deal.
Yeah. Well, what's kind of amazing to me in all of this, and this is a detail that, again, something that I don't think the Republicans have fully considered in all of this. And that is that, and obviously there are a lot of more important things that are points of consideration in this issue. But the fact remains that I think a lot of Republicans are pro-choice, but don't actually realize it. Because, as I said to Jody last week, you can be pro-life and pro-choice. You can be anti-abortion and pro-choice at the same time. That is logically possible. And
well, my girlfriend's oldest daughter, who has homeschooled the kids and then sent them to a private Christian school, she's as much a church lady as you can imagine. But they had to have in vitro to have kids. And so that means that they had to throw away fertilized embryos.
There you go. Yep. That's another one. That's a huge one. In fact, I've been asking that question for some time now. I don't think anyone has an answer to that. I don't think any Republicans have an answer to what happens to fertility clinics who, routinely freeze or destroy actual embryos. So that's another big question mark in all of this. Do fertility clinics start to shut down? And what do red state couples do if they're unable to conceive? What, do they just pray on it and hope that something happens? I don't know. I don't know what
there'll
their solution is.
There'll be an underground railroad.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know what? That's not too far off. I think the underground railroad thing is pretty accurate in terms of not only getting morning after pills, emergency contraception to women in states now that are starting to ban those even.
Hey, that's why God invented drones.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to start doing something along those lines. And I keep thinking about what the federalism consequences are of, say, for example, the federal government going in and setting up, military bases in some of these trigger law states and providing abortion services in those military bases. And that raises the question, well, we can't do that unless we overturn the Hyde Amendment first, because you can't have federal spending on abortion services because of the Hyde Amendment. So you got to overturn the Hyde Amendment. How do you do that? And if you can get to the point where you're reversing the filibuster in order to overturn the Hyde Amendment, why not just codify Roe? Why not just codify reproductive rights into law?
I can envision thousands of RU486 doses being delivered in Los Pollos Hermanos trucks, across the border.
Yes, that's right.
An empire is built up.
You know what? That's not even a joke. That's actually going to happen. That's going to be one of those things. There's going to be a whole black market for abortion pills, for morning after pills, emergency contraception, smuggling young girls, especially over the border. Midas Touch did a video along those lines last week.
Yeah,
in reaction to all of this. A very compelling video, in fact. But going back to Republicans being pro-choice, I've been collecting some quotes over the years where staunchly anti-abortion Republicans have actually derped their way into saying that they're pro-choice. Michelle Bachmann years ago said this, and this, I think this is over the debate around the Affordable Care Act. Michelle Bachmann said, "We want women to make their own choices in healthcare. We want women to have their own choices." And there's much more to that quote, but I just highlighted the key thing where she just repeats the word choices over and over again. Sarah Palin around the same time. "I'm saying that personally, I would counsel that person to choose life." And I underscore
the
word
choose.
Well, then
you don't have to go back that far. Just go back to the masks a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
People were saying.
Yeah, exactly. And then Palin also said, "We're proud of Bristol's decision to have her baby." And again, the key word there is decision. That she
That's great. That's great. She had a choice.
Decide. Yeah. Yeah. And then Lauren Boebert on Sunday, Mother's Day, said, "On this Mother's Day, I want to thank my mom for choosing life." So once again, the word choosing in there, indicating that she likes the idea of there being a choice. You know,
She didn't. So evidently, she didn't choose for the child to have a brain, but
that is true. Yes. But she does acknowledge the fact that her mom made a choice. And the question then remains, well, do you want that choice taken away? Do you seriously want it taken away? because this is such a gigantic leap toward all-out theocracy in this country. Charlie Pierce on Stephanie's show this morning was saying, yep, they're going after, what did he say? They're going after Obergefell next. Because usually Charlie's been saying, oh, it's going to be Griswold next. But today he said it's going to be Obergefell, which would then reverse same-sex marriage. If there is, a challenge to that law, and it makes its way to the Supreme Court. So
I got to think in terms of a generational thing, though. The blowback on this is going to happen for decades, yeah. That they have finally got what they want, and this and tax cuts is all that they've got. And right. So once they get it, where are they going to get support from people? They're not going to be able to say the big bad Democrats are baby killers anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll try to still make that argument. But by overplaying their hand like this, it's a lot of people are starting to see now, oh, wait a minute. There is a difference between the two parties.
And you know what? In that respect, there is a bit of a silver lining here. And Kimberly was saying on Friday's after party about how, in a strange way, she's glad that they just went ahead and reversed it entirely instead of sort of incremental things, because now what it's going to do is it's going to stir a lot of people into action. At least that's the hope, that a lot of people who were heretofore staying on the bench are now going to be hitting the field and going out to vote and participating where they might not have participated otherwise. And that could change.
The decision, kind of like Vietnam.
Yeah.
The decision is going to make it hip to get involved and vote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the hope. And, I mean, that is the positive action that will come out of a fucking nightmare.
But you know what? I say that, and then when they made the voting age 18, yeah. Fucking 18-year-olds didn't vote anyway. So
right, right.
You know, we're screwed.
And the other thing is, Mike, is we can absolutely count on Mitch McConnell to overturn the filibuster in order to pass a national ban on abortion. That is going to happen, irrespective of what he said. I have the quote here, but I also have the sound. Here's Mitch McConnell on the floor of the Senate yesterday. Oh, wait.
Too complimentary, actually.
I picked the wrong turtle. Yeah, there he goes. I got to let him finish. Okay, so thank you, Mitch McConnell. Actually, what he said was, I will never, ever support smashing the legislative filibuster on this issue or any other. Democrats want to wreck our institutions over their fringe position that Americans do not share. The radicals are running the show. Yes, the radicals who want purview over their, uteruses. That's an amazing thing. But
for him to call anything radical is...
Yeah, I don't believe him any more than I can throw his car, or throw his soiled crock or whatever.
Shell.
Yeah, he's obviously lying. He's done this before. He's promised things, said things that he's all like, did I say that? I didn't say that. I'm doing something different here. The parameters are slightly different now.
Isn't he going to be surprised when there really is a God, and he has to go meet him?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I'd like to be there for that meeting. Like to see that one. Yeah, it's going back to Griswold, as we were discussing a second ago, which is the Supreme Court ruling that legalized contraception in this country. In Mississippi, which is ground zero for this current Dobbs ruling, the Mississippi governor now is refusing to rule out a contraception ban. They're using weasel words and being a-holes about this. Like, hey, what's the deal with this law? Why did you guys pass this law banning abortion after whatever it is, 15 weeks, I think it is? And he said, well, yeah, we passed that because the legislature voted to pass it. Well, thanks for that insight, Mr. Governor. But yeah, this guy, Tate Reeves, who sounds like he should be organizing a posse, doesn't he? Tate Reeves. Like a
coon hunt, really.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, on State of the Union, which is the CNN show, Reeves confirmed that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, a trigger law passed in Mississippi in 2007 will go into effect that essentially outlaws abortion in the state, although it makes exceptions for rape and the life of the mother. That's the concession. That's the thing that we got to be sure not to get ourselves too wrapped around, the idea of these exceptions, because then if we're fighting for the exceptions, we're missing the larger idea of, you know, legalization and so on.
I think the Democratic analog to that would be if the Supreme Court outlawed assault rifles, that that blue states would have literal trigger laws. that would immediately...
Well, he went on to say, he said, my view is that the next phase of the pro-life movement is focusing on helping those moms that maybe have an unexpected and unwanted pregnancy. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, Tate. He said, and while I'm sure there will be conversations around America regarding contraceptives, it's not something that we have spent a lot of time on. Well, it doesn't require weeks and weeks of deliberation. You either do or you don't. You either want to ban contraception or you don't want to ban contraception. It's not a matter of an ongoing argle-bargle back and forth between the Republicans. All you do is say, well, yeah, we're going to do this, and that's what we're going to do.
And this all started 40 years ago with the moral majority and everything. This was the thing that got them going, and now that they've achieved it, it's not nearly as popular as it was then. You know, abortion, people that are pro-choice far outnumber the number of people that were pro-choice in 1980.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so they've kind of like gone off a cliff in a way. And if they go after contraception, they're just completely misreading the room, and this is the definition of, you know, overplaying your hand. I just got to think that's what this is going to end up being.
Which is why they're so elliptical whenever someone asks them about what they support and what they don't support.
Well, and that's why all they talk about is the fucking leak.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to talk, you mentioned popular support right now. I'm going to get into some poll responses here from the CBS YouGov poll that just dropped I believe this is yesterday, in fact. I want to talk about that and a whole lot more on this topic. And maybe eventually we'll get to Steve Schmidt outing John McCain. Not outing John McCain in that way. I'm talking outing John McCain's links to the Russians. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Okay. So I don't know if you're into gambling, Mike. I am not. I am not into gambling at all. But I will wager that anyone who's got a credit card listening to my voice right now is paying around 20% interest on that credit card debt. If you're also making minimum payments every month, it's going to take years and years to pay off those cards. So why not spare yourself the ongoing nightmare and refinance your credit cards into a super low interest rate? And here's exactly how. With Lightstream, you can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's way, way lower than most cards, probably lower than what you're paying right now, which is around 19% APR. You get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. The application is 100% on the internet, and you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day that you apply. And right now, you want to make sure you write this down, memorize it if you're in the car. Just for my listeners, apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Seska. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/CESCA. Link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Seska. For more information.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Yeah.
I think my ears are bleeding. Yeah, yeah. This is the great J-Ro and the Master of One, brand new single called The In-Between. Link in the description under this episode to support J-Ro. Yeah, one of our faves here in the show. Okay, bobseska.com/music to submit your songs. Please do.
My neighbors are banging on the walls.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah, so we just did an indie music countdown yesterday. All right, moving on here. Some new poll results pretty much line up with everything that we've seen so far, which is to say that abortion is wildly popular in this country. We're talking about supermajority support. If the support for abortion rights, the support for Roe v. Wade equated to votes in the Senate, we would have a filibuster-proof majority and then some. We're talking about 64% of Americans want to keep Roe v. Wade as is. Only 36% want to overturn. The nightmare scenario, though, is the fact that 36% is now controlling the 64%. That's not how democracy works. Democracy is majority rule, and this is not majority. This is a minority ruling the majority. Meantime, among those wanting to keep Roe v. Wade, overturning Roe v. Wade would move the country in the wrong direction, 84%, be a danger to women, 82%, be dangerous for Americans' rights, 82%. So again, among the 64% that want to keep Roe as is, they also believe it's going to move the country in the wrong direction, it's going to be a danger to women, it's going to be dangerous for American rights. That last one is one of the more important results. Meantime, if Roe v. Wade were overturned, would it lead to more restrictions on birth control? 66% say it will. 34% say it will not. So it's pretty strong consensus here of a bunch of people saying the same thing, which is that contraception is next. Mike, we're headed into the every sperm is sacred phase.
It's like the whole country has been taken over by Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Well, that was Hobby Lobby's argument, right? That they refused to cover the contraception, or they refused to pay for the contraception coverage in the Affordable Care Act, which guarantees free contraception, free emergency contraception as well for anyone that's enrolled in a healthcare
plan. They're grooming our young people with crafts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the great irony.
And glitter, yeah. and Elmer's glue.
That's one of the Supreme Court decisions that made me lose faith in the institution. Not all of my faith, but a good chunk of it. And that was the Hobby Lobby decision, among many others. But that Hobby Lobby decision basically said that if you believe emergency contraception induces an abortion, then therefore it does. It's like magic. None of the forms of emergency contraception covered in the Affordable Care Act induce an abortion. How do we know this? Because if it did, it wouldn't be in the law because of the Hyde Amendment.
Right. It would violate the Hyde Amendment.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a major thing that needs to get overturned. That's something that we need to talk about a little more as far as rolling back the law or passing something to improve conditions after this decision, is getting rid of that goddamn Hyde Amendment. That would open up a lot of options for the federal government, by the way, as far as protecting a woman's right to choose or a woman's right to have purview over her own body. Meantime, federal law making abortion legal, 58% support that, and only 42% oppose. So that's it. That's the latest CBS YouGov poll and the same shit that we all have seen time and time again. Abortion has consistently remained popular in this country. I mean, there've been times when it's been touch and go. There've been times when it's pretty close to being more of a plurality, pretty close to being, you know, whatever, 48 to 47, something like that. But right now, and in many occasions throughout the past 50 years, it has been wildly popular. And I know it seems crazy. Oh my God, look at all these people who want to kill babies. There are broader issues at play, many complications that I think so many, certainly on the Republican side, fail to understand.
Living in a red area, even things that aren't political,
yeah,
I've discovered the layers of ignorance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you there are different kinds of ignorance, and there's different kinds of ignorance levels.
Yeah.
And the ability to critically think is really kind of like, I'm starting to think maybe that was a thing that just never really was, you know, like we were just as ignorant 50 years ago.
Yeah.
In terms of that. And we were just as much driven by slogans and falsehoods and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like Barry Goldwater is going to nuke North Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah
actually, yeah. I'm not so sure he wouldn't have. But
But
you know what I mean? It's like I want to trace this back to our educational system and our inability to sort of, like you said before, to really think through this. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been lately, I've spent 3 years in this little town now, and I can see that. I can see people who are not necessarily really dumb, but they just are not exposed to things that people in urban areas are regularly exposed to, or people that work for Fortune 500 companies are exposed to in terms of diversity, or just in terms of language,
yeah,
and just in terms of how you express yourself. I just see a rural kind of folks and red state kind of areas as being just much more reactionary.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they're really ensconced in religious dogma, I think a lot of those areas are going to have a rude awakening with the consequence of this decision. I think what's going to happen is some areas, and particularly red areas, have taken this option for granted through the demagoguery and demonization of it all, through the politics of it, and they don't see it as a real-world option. And so as soon as they figure out, oh, wait, I'm pregnant, I have to have this baby now. I've got no other recourse. There is no other option for me. A sperm met an egg in my fallopian tube, and now I have to carry this to term and birth it and care for it for 18 plus years, and the expense and the difficulty, especially if you're talking about a rape. And I think that's going to dawn on a lot of people who may not have otherwise considered this as being a thing. And so,
well, and this gets back to healthcare in general. Yeah. I was talking about momentum in terms of public opinion.
Yeah.
We are seeing now extremely red states expanding Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going in the, they're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
They're going in the wrong direction.
Wrong, yeah. Yeah. You're doing it wrong. And that's certainly a problem, because these people are asking for this kind of legislation. They're asking for these kinds of Supreme Court decisions. And then now that it's finally happened, I think they're going to be like they're going to have one of those oh fuck moments when they realize, oh, zero option. Oh, there's one option. I've got one option and one option exclusively.
Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly right. Well, meantime, going back to the contraception issue, Arizona State candidate Blake Masters, Republican,
Blake
obviously.
Masters.
Yes.
Middays here at WDIY.
Is that your radio name back in 78, Mike? Is that
Blake Masters, noon to three.
So Blake Masters, the Senate candidate in Arizona, U.S. Senate candidate, said if elected, he will vote against judges unless they commit to overturning the 1965 Griswold v. Connecticut decision, which ends laws that banned contraception. The case helped establish the basic right to privacy. So yet another Republican saying the quiet part out loud. Oh, they're going to go on Fox News for the time being and say, well, I don't know. But meantime, you're going to have newbies and rookies.
It's all part of the small government segment.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? I've gotten to this point in the show and failed to mention that on tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking to our friend, the great Dr. Leah Torres, who's an OBGYN. And we've had her on the show a bunch of times as part of her medical services. She does perform abortions. And right now she lives in a trigger law state. And so this is going to be a super important conversation to have with Dr. Leah Torres to get her perspective on this, what she plans to do next as a medical professional who has performed these kinds of procedures. And so, you know, every time I talk to her, you know, and sometimes I go, should I even invite her on the show? Am I shining a spotlight on her that maybe could turn into something disastrous? And I always worry. I always worry about Leah Torres. And so in that sense, I think she is incredibly brave. I mean, the very fact that she's coming on the show, speaking out publicly on Twitter and other podcasts as well, just underscores how courageous she is. Mm-hmm. And so she is on the front lines. And I'm looking forward to having that conversation with her, despite the fact that I get really nervous for her. Okay, so that is on tomorrow's show. Meantime, this Louisiana bill would now allow murder charges for abortions. And up until recently, those kinds of laws have been strictly about the abortion doctors. Doctors like Dr. Leah Torres, for example. But this bill in Louisiana that was just recently introduced probably is going to pass, would include women who have abortions. So what we're talking about, Mike, here, and let's boil it down to, let's say, a very specific circumstance. Girls as young as third grade, 8, 9 years old, even, you know, I guess in the case of your niece?
My granddaughter.
Your granddaughter, 5 years old, depending on what kind of medical treatment she's getting, is capable of being pregnant. And so if you're talking about a third grader who, in the case of the state of Florida, for example, can't discuss sexual identity in school by state law. However, if that third grader, let's say that 9-year-old who's gone through puberty, is capable of reproducing, is raped, she is now going to be forced by the state of Florida to carry that child and birth that child, even though it could be deadly for her. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's not every state, because there are concerns for health and safety of the pregnant woman or girl in this circumstance. However, how many abortion doctors, how many OBGYNs are going to be willing to perform abortions under any circumstances for fear of intense political and social scrutiny from the rubes or whoever, or inquiries about, oh, why did you perform that abortion? Are you sure that was going to be a threat? Can you prove that it was going to be? I mean, the circumstances, again, we're talking about massively complicated, extenuating circumstances orbiting this. I mean, thousands of things.
Well, and see, this is why, this is the myopia or tunnel vision we have in this country, where we don't understand, there's a whole couple of generations don't even understand why Roe v. Wade even happened in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of all the crap that arose from having illegal abortions and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're happily cheering the return of that stuff. It's just like people that I used to complain about, Gen Xers, who didn't really understand, you know, why we didn't kick ass in Vietnam and stuff like that. It's like, well, you know, or why there were hippies in the first place. You know, it was because they were shipping your ass off to Vietnam, and we had real free speech problems in this country in the 50s and early 60s. And so the whole liberal movement came out of that.
Yeah.
And they don't realize how bad it was before all that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. In fact, we've been watching the miniseries Gaslit on Stars, which is so incredibly entertaining and interesting. And of course, G. Gordon Liddy is front and center in this, which is fascinating for me to look at, Buzz as well. And you get the impression and the distinct impression, even beyond the history that we're familiar with, that things were extraordinarily different prior to Watergate. The changes that occurred structurally in the American government after Watergate were so incredibly necessary, because guys like Liddy, guys like John Mitchell and Magruder and all the rest of the Watergate plotters, they felt like they had carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they wanted. I mean, they were talking about kidnapping Democratic Party officials and renditioning them to Mexico. That was a real idea that was part of Liddy's Operation Gemstone. It was fucked up back then. Yeah.
I remember seeing, who was the investigative reporter? I can't remember his name now.
Jack Anderson?
Yes. I went and saw him give a speech once. And he talked about how Liddy had discussed putting LSD on the steering wheel of his car.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, come on. But, you know, that was a deal.
Absolutely.
Really,
absolutely something that Liddy would do, and something that he would have done had people around him not gone. I mean, he was too crazy for the crazy people. That's the thing about Gordon Liddy. But you, going back to what you were saying about folks not understanding what this means or what Roe means in particular, you get a lot of talk from Republicans, a lot of demagoguery, a lot of screeching around the idea of late-term abortion. Late-term abortion is only a thing when there's a threat to the life of the pregnant mother. That's the only circumstance that late-term abortion occurs, and that's the only circumstance in which it's constitutionally protected. Because Roe v. Wade and then Casey after it, well, first Roe v. Wade established the trimester standard, where there were different rules based on which trimester the pregnancy was in. But then Casey established the viability standard, which said, okay, after this point, the fetus can live outside the mother, so therefore that's a viable fetus or whatever you want to call it once it's outside the womb. And so, therefore, you can't abort a viable entity like that. You just can't do it. And so, Republicans are counting on the fact, though, that the suckers and rubes don't understand that distinction. And that, oh, well, late-term abortion, how great, oh, they're ripping.
Yeah, well, 40% of them thinks Hillary eats babies alive anyway, so
yeah,
it's really not that big a deal.
Or yeah, and just recently, Donald Trump, throughout his 4 years, through the 2020 campaign, maybe even still now, I haven't seen his latest rally, talking about how doctors are ripping babies, like 9-month babies out of uteruses and murdering them and torturing them and beating them, whatever the fuck he thinks they're doing. And that is such a colossal lie, such a colossal myth that fails to understand the terms of these two landmark decisions. So it's staggering to know how remarkably dumb and naive so many Americans are. And the Republicans are just seizing on every bit of that naivete, every bit of that dumbness. Meantime, James Carville, this is an important point to make. Carville was on TV the other night talking about, you know, his usual thing where he starts screaming at Democrats. And he said, based around this topic in particular, he said, today they have, and he means Republicans, have no fear of Democrats. That's why they do this. Democrats, you got to understand just what a huge event this is in American politics. Yeah, Democrats don't understand that this is a huge event. I think differently. I think most of us
know. I think people who identify as Democrats understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But so many people don't identify with either party. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the big problem, is getting people who are so-called independents.
Yeah.
To come to your side.
Roe is over 2-1 in approval, and Alito and them said, we don't care. We're not fair, and we don't care. And all the Democrats are going to do is sit around and talk about veganism and pronouns. And to some extent, that is a justified opinion that they have. You know what? The Democrats aren't sitting around talking about veganism and pronouns. That's a fucking...
It almost doesn't matter whether they are or not, because a significant part of this country thinks they are. That's the image that is portrayed.
That's a good point.
And unfortunately, it is partly portrayed by a lot of Democrats, you know.
Well, yeah.
But that's not the mainstream of the Democratic Party by any means. Mm-hmm. But they've just allowed themselves to be portrayed that way.
Well, it's a misapprehension, because as true as the perception might be of this, it's not like Eric Swalwell and Nancy Pelosi are having meetings, you know, on the House side saying, hey, you know what? Let's talk about veganism today. That's going to be the issue of the week, maybe. Also, pronouns. Let's talk. What's your pronoun? That's not happening among Democratic leadership.
That's not a new thing, though. Yeah. Right? You know, it's remember 9/11 and what's his name? Drunky McPuke Shoes.
man. He almost got me, Mike. I almost spewed my coffee. Thank you.
God, I forgot his name. Oh,
Drunky McPukes, Ronnie Jackson.
No. The original Drunky.
Different. Okay.
Yeah. The guy who, you know, somebody said, I am the Congress or something. Oh, God.
John Boehner?
Kill me. Now before him,
this different is like drunk
around the 2000s.
We're just naming drunks now. Drunk Republicans.
Oh, crap. So people, I have to turn in my Stephanie Miller card now because I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But, you know, after 2001, he made this speech where he said, well, you know, Democrats want to reach out and have, you know, I don't know, you know, just like, in other words, just sort of reach out and understand the terrorists and stuff like this. I mean, it's just always been that way. Democrats have always had to fight this perception that we just sit around and flower power and, you know, veganism and pronouns and not deal with the real issues.
There are people on Twitter who talk about veganism and pronouns, and that's fine. I'm just saying that it's not Democratic leadership. It's certainly not people running on these things.
It's a stereotype. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if that's a stereotype, fine, it's a stereotype, but it doesn't make it accurate. But James Carville merely kind of reinforcing that stereotype. More to talk about here. Another kind of grisly aspect to all of this as women try to find ways around these laws. Already plans are in place and ideas are being put on the table for how women can at least retain some sort of purview over their bodies. We're going to talk about that and maybe a little bit about the Steve Schmidt thing with John McCain and the Russians here. But first, okay, let's talk about a Patreon page, and I'm talking about my Patreon page. Unlike some podcasts, we got a couple of commercial breaks in our shows, like the one we're in right now. But here's the best way to listen to The Bob Seska Show without all those commercials. Just go right now to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. Scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of this podcast and sign up for just $15 per month. So here's what you're going to get in exchange for your generous support. We're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday and Thursday shows, and the Shadow Docket bonus show will be included as part of that audio file. In other words, one mega show with a free portion and the Shadow Docket combined exactly how it's recorded and no commercials in there too. But wait, there's more things. You're also going to get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson included in that level of support, all for just $15 per month. Again, that's bobseskashow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Across that park underneath the wind in the winter's dark, and one thing's for certain.
Yeah, one of the greats here on the show. This is Betsy Ade and the well-known Strangers. Brand new single here called Working Man. When I first saw it, I was like, are they covering Rush? Is that what this is? No. It's a brand new song, just happens to have the same name. And it is wonderful. The new album is called Dawn. I believe it dropped on Friday last week. Link in the description to support Betsy Ade and the well-known Strangers here. Make sure to go to bobseska.com. Click on the link for this episode. And we've got all the linkage for you, including all of our indie bands here. All right, moving along here on the show.
Tom DeLay,
thank you.
That was the Drunky McPuke shoes I couldn't think of.
The one of many Drunky McPuke shoes. But there's another, in fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a Republican North Dakota state senator who's now linked to a convicted child pornographer. This is a brand new story that dropped, I believe, yesterday. Grand Forks, North Dakota police and federal agents seized video discs and other items from the home of North Dakota's longest-serving state senator after he had traded scores of text messages with a man jailed on child pornography charges. There's another one. Good God.
Yeah. But Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right. Thank you. According to a police report, a Grand Forks police detective and two Homeland Security special agents searched Ray Holmberg's home on November 17th It came about 3 months after Holmberg exchanged 72 text exchanges with Nicholas James Morgan DeRossier, as Morgan DeRossier was held in the Grand Forks County Jail. Just now learning about all of this. Meantime, women are turning to sterilization. Not surprising at all that tubal ligation, having your tubes tied, is going to be one of the only ways around this, while it's still legal. Because I imagine they're going to be going after that next. They're looking to plug all the holes. They want to make sure that if you get pregnant, you are going to carry that thing to term. No matter what you want, no matter what your life is, no matter what's going on around the circumstances with that pregnancy, doesn't fucking matter. Republicans are turning you into the gestational birthing pods in the Matrix.
Because there's not enough white babies to adopt.
That's right. What was the language that was used by Coney Barrett? The supply of infants.
Domestic supply of infants.
Jesus God. Yeah. I hope that haunts her for the rest of her career. Domestic supply of infants. Who thinks like that? Well, I guess we know. Supreme Court justices think like that. Meantime, on a separate topic, Steve Schmidt. Someone pissed in Steve Schmidt's beer at some point last week because he's been going off on gigantic tirades on Twitter. And in fact, I was almost the subject of one because I dare.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Because... I quote tweeted him. He was going off about Ruth Bader Ginsburg not resigning when she should have.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not valuable to go back and relitigate shit from 10 years ago.
I remember that tweet. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, likewise, it's not relevant to go back and say that you were the White House point guy who got Sam Alito confirmed. And then I said, let's kind of a little bit of a jab there. Jab there. But regardless, I said, look, that's not... I'm illustrating a point here. We don't want to relitigate the fact that you helped get Sam Alito confirmed. What we want to do is focus on winning the next election and the one after that and the one after that and the one after that and get enough majorities here so we can roll this shit back and re-protect women's rights in this country. And then he was like, okay, well, now I'm going to respond to you with an open hand. Oh, what does that mean? You're smacking me with an open hand or you're reaching out with an open hand? Regardless, he did a 17-tweet thread in response to me. And,
wow.
And he wasn't harsh against me the way he's been harsh against, over the past 3 or 4 days, Meghan McCain. Now Sherry Jacobus is on the receiving end of Steve Schmidt right now. But the fascinating thing, I mean, I don't want to get into all of the stuff around Meghan McCain. You can read about it on Twitter if you'd like. The most important aspect of this is Steve Schmidt is alleging here that the Russian connection to the Republican Party goes back at least as far as 2008. John McCain, who Steve Schmidt worked for, famously. It's been documented in Game Change. We all saw it happen in real time during the 2008 election. Many of us were still covering politics back then. He's saying now that in that election, John McCain was getting all kinds of Russian money. He was connected to Yanukovych, who was the president of Ukraine, who was in Vladimir Putin's back pocket.
Right, right.
This started, this began the American corruption in Ukraine. And then he's also connecting John McCain to Oleg Deripaska. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's alleging here in one of these tweets that John McCain was taken on Oleg Deripaska's yacht in Montenegro for his 70th birthday. So we're talking about a Republican Party that's in the back pocket of Vladimir Putin back to 2008. And I think he was saying something else. I think he was mentioning some other possible candidate earlier than that. But what he knows for sure, I think, is that it was McCain.
And then, I wonder how much of this just naturally flows from the way that the fossil fuel industry works. How much of this connection with Russia is, an upshot of that? You can't ignore it because that's what makes the world go round. And I got to think that that's where most of this originates.
Yeah, it's possible. I think he was also saying something about Bernie, too. So he's saying that maybe it's not just the Republicans. By the way, it sounds like there's a drone hovering outside my window. It's the maintenance guys have come by with the weed whackers. So that's okay. That's the noise. Yeah,
I was looking at my security cameras here,
yeah,
trying to make sure that it wasn't my house.
But I'm gonna tell Kimberly that it's Roger Stone's drone spying on us. She'll freak out because of that.
It's your RU486 drone.
That'll be a fun joke to play on Kimberly later. But seriously,
no, hey, you've got a Jetsons car. You might as well admit it.
Anyway, so this series of revelations from Steve Schmidt regarding Russia, Yanukovych, Deripaska, McCain, etc. Interesting to know this now. I mean, how long have we been talking about the Republicans in the back pocket of the Russians? We've been talking about
it. I think it's interesting that the minute you start talking about the Russians, the drones show up.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? I think it's... I'm telling you,
Kimberly, next sound will be you being thrown out of a window.
So. It's Roger Stone coming after us.
When I saw that, that was definitely some jaw-dropping stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to know what's going on there.
Yes, we do. And the thing that pisses me off, though, is where has Steve Schmidt been with this?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand loyalty to McCain to an extent, but that loyalty seems as if it's on very, very thin ice, given the fact that Steve Schmidt has now violated that loyalty and just been like,
well, and McCain died, too. That's another part of it. Yeah. It's like, who's he staying loyal to, you know? And why does it have to be a catfight with Meghan McCain that brings all this out?
Boy, that's getting really loud outside my window, by the way.
It's
I don't know if you can
bad.
Hear it. Yeah,
it's not that bad.
There it is. Those are jetpacks.
His boy Elroy.
Oh, finally it went away. shit. Yeah, but thanks for the information now, Steve Schmidt. We could have used this. This could have been appropriate. Maybe the 1-6 committee would be interested to hear this, or maybe the Justice Department, perhaps. It's illegal for Russia to be financing the Republican Party.
Maybe they should look into this instead of they're opening hearings on UFOs next week.
Yeah.
Maybe they should do this instead.
Well, he's also saying that Sarah Palin and her nomination as vice president was a consequence of a Russian suggestion along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course.
That's well, you know why? Because they can see her from their house.
Okay, so yeah, very, very frustrating, but at the same time, I guess good to know now, good to keep an eye on the pro-Putin party. Don Jr. once again today defending Vladimir Putin, say, why the hell? There's a baby formula shortage. Why are we giving $40 billion or whatever it is to Ukraine? America first. No, it's not America first,
right. They don't need all that baby formula because his pal Putin is going and bombing school buses.
That's right. But God damn it, right? I mean, he's disguising it as America first, but it's Putin first. It's Russia first. Junior knows where his goddamn disgusting bread is buttered. And it's buttered in the Kremlin. That's where Junior gets his bread buttered.
His
shit. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's see what else here. We're wrapping up the show. That's the music playing us out, so... I was going
to
mention.
Sure to thank your publicist.
Yeah, there was a. I just want to mention here at the end of the show, the Republican Party won a primary with a candidate who is accused of murdering his wife.
Yeah.
That is in Indiana, and you know what this illustrates for me? Not necessarily more corruption from the Republican Party, although that is a component. What this illustrates for me is, oh my God, the Republicans are a lockstep party.
That guy will probably replace Pence on Trump's ticket.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
I mean, but voters going and electing this guy in a primary, even though he's accused of murder. There's your pro-life party, by the way. Right? I guess they're into life up until the 400th trimester or something like that.
You know, okay. You kill one person. Yeah, you know, he was young and experimenting with his life.
Yeah, it was a youthful indiscretion, Mike. God damn. Okay, so here's
it's not like he went down on his cousin or something.
Although I wouldn't be surprised, given the status of the Republican Party right now, the projection coming from these a-holes. All right, so here, programming note for the Shadow Docket coming up next. We're talking Better Call Saul on the Shadow Docket. And why are we doing that? Well, why the fuck not? It's a wonderful show, and also, politics is so goddamn grim these days. We try to take a little bit of a breather where we can. And right now, one of the greatest shows in the history of television is wrapping up its sixth and final season. Part one of the final season is happening right now. Mike and I are going to talk about that because we love the show. Mike, maybe even more than I do. Probably more than I do. In fact, definitely probably more than I do.
Yeah, I think so.
You've got the merch.
I'm sitting here in my Madrigal Electromotive t-shirt.
See, that's what I mean. I do not have one of those t-shirts. Also, by the way, I'm going to be on the Rush Fans podcast tonight. All right, take care, folks. See you on the Shadow Docket. Patreon.com/Bob Sessa Show. Bye-bye.